The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord. Once you see Jesus in the Eucharist, everything changes. Oh, everything radically changes. See, sometimes that's why Catholicism is utterly so strange and so powerful at the same time. Again, this intimacy that we have at our fingertips with God himself. You know, the whole debate between Protestant Christianity and apostolic Christianity of the ancient church, this division, because our Protestant friends sadly do not believe in the Holy Eucharist. But we do. It cannot be otherwise if we think about, okay, why does Christ come? What is the whole point of Christianity? Again, we have to reject this domestication of Christianity to make it about being nice. That is not Christianity. That's a modern version of Christianity. No, Christianity, the whole point of our religion, this whole edifice of Catholicism, is about intimacy with God. Real intimacy, real union. See, that's the key. That's why Jesus comes in here. How he says, the true bread that came down from heaven. For I am the living bread, and the food that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. It's almost so mind-boggling to think about this, how God wants to unite, not just with our spirit, but with our flesh. And the only image that is consistent all throughout sacred scripture, and we see this beautifully again, when is Jesus' first miracle? Of course, the wedding at Cana. When does the image of, in the book of Revelation, how does the world end? Through the wedding banquet. So this whole imagery of wedding language is all throughout sacred scripture of what God wants to do with humanity. And as we all know, when a man and a woman, one of the great joys of any marriage is a union of flesh. Again, we all get a little uncomfortable when we use that language. Why? Because we all know that's intense. And rightly so, but there's nothing wrong with the sexual act. It was created by God when created in his purposes and used for his designs. And we all understand there's an intimacy and a power there. Just like tomorrow, we'll have a wedding here. One of the Kalinowskis is getting married here, and it'll be a glorious occasion. And when the two become one flesh, a new family will be created. God will use that imagery of a wedding and apply it to all of us. And when we look at Christianity as union with God, the reality of the Eucharist now begins to make more sense. Why Paul says, when he finally sees Jesus in the first reading, scales fell from his eyes and he was changed forever.